Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and today it's time for a new installment in this excellent teaching series centered on our study guide called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, based on Bob Christopher's book of the same title. If you don't have a copy of the book or the study guide, or either for that matter, you can go online to basicgospel.net and click the Simple Gospel book link on the right-hand side of the homepage right there. But for right now, it's a study edition from the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide, and here to share the good news with us is my friend Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. This is going to be, I think, a fun broadcast for us. We're going to recap a little bit of where we've been. We talk about the fact that as human beings, we come into this world, and it's not very long. We don't have to live too many years where we figure out that something's messed up inside of us, yeah. That something's just not quite right, that we've missed the mark somewhere along the way. We you know, get mad at our siblings. We see selfishness. We see all sorts of things, and we see this kind of emptiness inside, and we wonder what in the world that is. Yeah. And at a point in time, we encounter the good news of Jesus Christ. We encounter the gospel. We hear that Jesus died for our sins, and that makes a lot of sense. And boy, that puts a smile on the on our face to think that God has done something for us. Yeah. And we all know we have a lot of sins that we should be punished for. But here we hear the good news that Jesus died in our place, and then he was buried, and then on the third day he was raised back to life. And there we see what our real problem is, what the real issue is. We were lost and dead in trespasses and sins. And God, through Jesus, makes us alive. He raises us up spiritually so that we could walk in the newness of life. So just as Jesus was raised physically from the dead, you and I were raised spiritually. We were born again by the Spirit of God, new creatures in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Not only is that the case, but God sent his Spirit to take up residence in us. So we're fully alive in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is fully alive in us. And so we go through life every single day, every minute of every single day, every second of every single day, in partnership, joined together, fused together with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we are now as believers, as Christians. So waking up every day, knowing that you have Jesus Christ living inside of you, should change your expectations about life. I know it's changed my expectations, and I'm living in the reality of the truths that the Word of God has clearly laid out. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not the case for every single thing in the Word of God, but there are some things that I am sure of. And I think as believers in Christ, because Christ lives in us, I think these are things that we can all be sure of. And the first thing is assurance of salvation. Yeah. The fact that Christ lives in us is a bold proclamation by God himself that you are right in his eyes. I mean, he wouldn't send the Spirit to take up residence in you if he had not first cleansed you, forgiven you of all your sins, made you righteous, made you holy, perfected you, and made you alive together with Christ. He would have never sent his Spirit to take up residence in you if those things hadn't taken place. Yeah. So his presence in you is the guarantee, is your assurance of salvation. And as you really rest in that and have your mind grasp it, you will see confidence in your relationship with the Lord and confidence as you go through life. I know there are so many people who walk on eggshells when it comes to their Christian experience. They're just waiting for God's punishment to somehow show up in their lives. They know they've done something wrong. They know that they need to be punished for it. They live in guilt. They walk on eggshells in hopes that they're not going to repeat that sin. And so they just live in fear.
Right.
Well, we don't need to live in fear. Why? Because Jesus died for our sins. And the proof that we are forgiven is the fact that his Spirit lives in us. So one of the things that we can expect in life with God's Spirit living in us is to know for sure that we are saved, the assurance of salvation. The second thing that we've talked about as far as these expectations are concerned and the great expectations we can have as believers in Christ is that we can actually live righteous, upright, self-controlled, godly lives in this present generation. And you may be scratching your head and saying, Bob, are you saying that even with all the temptations that surround us, with all the worldly passions that just flood us every day with images and sounds and all of those things that we encounter, are you saying that in the midst of that, we can actually live righteous, upright, godly, self-controlled lives? Absolutely. And why do I say that? Because you have the Spirit of God living in you. And the Spirit of God, through the grace of God, is going to teach you how to renounce those worldly passions, how to renounce ungodliness, and how to live righteous, upright, godly, self-controlled lives in this present generation.
But you're not talking about gutting it out for God. This is a whole different dynamic.
A completely different dynamic.
Yeah.
It's not about human effort.
Right.
You know, Paul has already shot that myth, just exploded that in his letter to the Galatians. You know, why, if you have been saved by hearing and receiving the Spirit, why would you think you would perfect yourself through human effort? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just futility.
Yeah.
So, no, this isn't about gutting it out. This isn't about, you know, falling flat on your face, picking yourself up by the bootstraps and doubling down on your efforts. No, absolutely not. This is about recognizing who you have living inside of you.
Yes, right.
That is the Spirit of God. And if God's Spirit is living inside of you, the power of God's Spirit is living inside of you. And now you have the power to overcome those worldly temptations and to overcome the desires of the flesh. Mm-hmm. So you can expect, as you live in dependence upon Jesus, live in dependence upon the Spirit, you can expect to be saying no to worldly passions and ungodliness and yes to righteous, upright living in this present world. That's how God has put this thing together, how he's rigged it so that you can be successful in life. He's given you the successful one, the Holy Spirit, to live in and through you.
Yes, indeed. Well, today, as every Friday here on Basic Gospel, we're working through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide, and we hope you're benefiting from what you're hearing and that you'll take the initiative to share what you've been learning with your family and friends. If you miss any of these weekly sessions along the way, well, you can find them in the archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. That's basicgospel.net/teaching. All the sessions are there for you and for everyone you'd like to share them with. If you don't have a copy of the study guide, you can order it directly from the archive page. And again, you'll find it all waiting for you at basicgospel.net/teaching. Also, remember that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, everybody, and we really appreciate every one of you who has given so many times sacrificially to ensure that we're able to continue broadcasting and streaming the truth of God's grace in Jesus Christ. So as you're able, please visit basicgospel.net and join us by supporting Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob.
Well, thank you, Bob, and just a reminder to our listeners as well, we have a wonderful resource this month called Against the Current,
yeah.
And it's something that we want to put in your hands, and it's exactly what we're talking about in this study guide in this particular chapter. When you know you have the Spirit of God living in you, the thought of moving against the current of the world becomes less
friction.
Yes, overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
You think, oh my gosh, how in the world am I going to be able to do that? Well, in and of your own strength, it's going to be an impossibility.
Yeah.
But God lives in the realm of impossibilities, and he has sent his Spirit to live inside of you. So you can go upstream. You can go against the current. You can go against the patterns of this world. Why? Because you have the Spirit of God living in you. And that's what this CD series is all about, to help you understand how God has equipped you to truly live as a child of God, to truly live in the newness of life that you have in Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. And of course, for you who are our donors, we would like to send you a copy of it as our way of saying thank you. So again, just visit basicgospel.net, click donate, and we'd love to send you a copy of Against the Current as you make your October gift to Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. So the third thing that we can expect as believers in Christ, and as far as Simple Gospel, Simply Grace is concerned in this particular chapter, I just highlighted three expectations that we can have as believers in Christ: assurance of salvation, being able to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation. And then the third thing is the expectation of bearing fruit in our day-to-day lives, seeing the fruit of the Spirit being expressed in and through us, that we could actually truly enjoy and experience love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Yeah. So that's what we're really going to focus on for the rest of the broadcast today, is looking at the fruit of the Spirit, looking at how that comes about in our lives. And we're going to look at two passages, Galatians chapter 5 and John chapter 15. So I'm going to start in Galatians chapter 5, and we covered this first verse last week, but I think it's important that we start here again this week. Galatians 5:16. Paul says this, that I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So let me just read that again. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So this is kind of a conclusion statement. It is a therefore statement as far as Paul's train of thought in this letter is concerned. So he starts out chapter 5 with this: for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So we've been set free by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. And then in verse 13 of this particular chapter, he says, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Okay, so we're set free. That freedom doesn't mean we're to go back and to indulge the desires of the flesh or to entertain the temptations that are out there in the world. That's what we've been liberated from. That's what we've been severed from. When we were lost, we were joined to the ways of this world. We had nothing else on our menu other than the desires of the flesh. Mm-hmm. We were controlled by sin and death. But now that we've been set free, we have been set free from the power of sin and death, set free to live in the newness of life. Now, freedom means we have options. So the desires of the flesh, they're not going to go away. So those desires are going to continue to haunt us in our day-to-day lives, and we have the freedom to give in. But that is not going to be good for us, nor is it going to be good for others. So Paul says, instead of using your freedom to indulge the flesh, here's what you should do: but through love, serve one another. Now, that's where we get to the fruit of the Spirit. Again, we can't generate that love through human effort. We can try, we can do all sorts of things, but we're not going to generate true, genuine, agape love for another person. That is the fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
So the conclusion to this statement, don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh, but rather serve one another in love, is therefore walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. You have the Spirit of God living in you. The Spirit of God is putting a whole new set of desires in you. Walk by that. Let your life be ordered by the Spirit of God. And the byproduct, the result of that, is you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, but rather you will express the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Manifest that in your relationships, one with another, in your decision-making, in all areas of life. And that's what we want. That's what all of us desire, is to be able to fully experience the fruit of the Spirit and manifest that in our day-to-day lives. We can expect it. We can have a great expectation that that's going to be our reality. Why? Because we have the Spirit of God living in us. The right person showed up who is able to produce that in and through us. The source of the very fruit that we all long for and desire in day-to-day life. So what is the fruit of the Spirit? Paul talks about that in Galatians 5:22. He says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law."
Right.
So there's nothing in the law of God, there's nothing in those Ten Commandments that prohibit the fruit of the Spirit, that would stand against us expressing the fruit of the Spirit in day-to-day life. The law isn't against love. The law isn't against peace. The law isn't against love or joy. The law isn't against patience or kindness or goodness or faithfulness or gentleness or self-control. The law isn't against any one of those things. The law isn't going to judge you or condemn you if you express love or joy or peace toward someone else.
Right.
So there's no law against these things. As a matter of fact, this is the life that transcends the law. So the grace of God has put us out of the reach of the law. Now, that may be a shocking statement to some people, but it's true. Here's why it's true. The law, it had standards. When we put ourselves under those standards, the law judges us guilty, the law condemns us, and then the law sentences us to death.
Right.
That's what the law does. Well, Jesus Christ stood in our place, and he died. And when we identify with Christ by grace through faith, we die in Christ. So now the law has been fully carried out in us. The righteous requirements of the law have been met.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus died in my place. I have been placed or baptized into his death. So his death now counts as my death.
Yes.
Okay, so the law is done with me.
Mm-hmm.
I've died. Sentence has been carried out. Now resurrection happens. I'm raised to walk in the newness of life. The law has nothing to say about resurrection. So somebody who commits murder, let's say, and they are, you know, the evidence is gathered and it all points to you, or let's just make up a name, Bill Jones. Bill Jones commits murder. All the evidence points to him. They go and arrest him. They bring a charge against him, the charge of first-degree murder. They send Bill to trial. All the evidence is examined by a jury of his peers. They judge him to be guilty, and then they sentence him to death by execution. So when is the law fulfilled? When that sentence is carried out. So Bill goes to the electric chair, and Bill is electrocuted, and he is pronounced dead at a particular time of the day. He is taken out of that particular room. He's put in a casket, and he's buried. So the law is done as far as Bill is concerned. Well, what if a month later Bill comes out of that grave? He has been resurrected. Is he going to be tried again as a murderer? Absolutely not. Why? Because he was tried, he was found guilty, and he was punished. And so now the law can't touch Bill.
Right.
It's done.
It's done.
It's the same with you and me. The law can't touch us. Why? Because we died in Christ, and we've been raised to walk in the newness of life. Since that's true, and since the Spirit lives in us, let's keep in step with what the Spirit is doing inside of us. Let's let our new life in Christ be ordered by the Spirit of God living inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do, here's what happens. We bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Now, notice it says that we bear the fruit. We don't produce the fruit.
Right. Yes.
This isn't something that we do through human effort. We simply are branches that bear the fruit of the life of the Spirit working in and through us. And so in this new life, we have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, and gentleness. Those are the things that we have. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives inside of us. So since that is true, let's live by the Spirit. Let's keep in step with the Spirit. And let's see with our eyes what God is doing in and through us. Mm-hmm. Now, in John chapter 15, and we're going to bring this chapter to a close with this particular passage, Jesus gives a wonderful illustration of a vine and a branch. This was something common in the Middle East. It's something that he could simply point to and say, here's the way this relationship works. Here's how it's supposed to work. So he says, I'm vine, and he says, you're branch. So we need to understand that relationship. So he's the source. The vine is the source of life that is going to flow up into the branch. A branch that is detached from the vine is simply going to dry up and wither. We don't have life in and of ourselves. That life has got to be given to us.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave us his life. He attached us to himself. So we as branch are now attached to the vine. And so what does he say in John 15:5? I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So he's speaking specifically in this to the nation of Israel, but it has application for you and me today. We're branch. We were cut off a wild shoot, and we were grafted in. So as Gentiles, we were grafted in. So now we have the source of life flowing through us. And that source of life is Jesus Christ himself. And with that, guess what? We're going to bear fruit. And not just a little bit of fruit. We're not just going to see tiny little apples. We're going to bear much fruit, an overabundance of fruit. Now, who is this fruit going to benefit? Those who are in our lives, the sphere of influence that we live in on planet Earth. They're going to benefit from the fruit that Christ produces and that we bear as children of God. Now, we can't do this on our own. This is through this dependent relationship.
Yeah.
So let's recognize the source, Jesus Christ himself. Let's have great expectations that he's going to do his thing in and through us, and that we're going to benefit, and that we're going to bear the fruit of his life.
Yes,
love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control.
You paint some beautiful pictures, Bob. Thank you for this study of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And friends, thank you for being with us for this study edition. To get your copy of the study guide, just click the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace book link on the homepage of our website. That's at basicgospel.net. Keep in mind, too, that we need your partnership to keep the good news of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ on the air and online. And you can donate today at basicgospel.net. It's vital that we have your support to ensure that the message remains available for everyone. So we hope you'll make your gift today at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, again inviting you to join Bob online Sunday mornings, 9:30 Central, for Sunday Morning Live. Link to either Facebook or YouTube at the top of our homepage, basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for this week, everybody. Have a great weekend in and because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and join us again on Monday for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.